You're listening to a previously recorded episode of the Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com. You're listening to the Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
It is officially August 9th. This is officially episode 199. We are going to hit 200 before we are kicked off the airwaves.
Well,
quite amazing.
We hope, anyway. I mean, we do have this show to get through.
And the boss man is in the other room.
Exactly,
so.
Right?
So. I don't know.
Jimmy,
what?
Behave.
No.
Okay.
200 episodes. I don't know when we're going to celebrate it, but we're going to celebrate it soon. Maybe next Tuesday? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that would be when we hit 200. So.
Yeah, but I heard there was some driving conflicts or something. We gotta sit down and really discuss it or get in the Yahoo group and doing it. We can hear that on the radio, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot.
a lot.
Your popsicle. Anyways,
it's okay.
We got some great guests from Michigan Top Team that are fighting this week in WXC. It's happening at Taylortown. But we're going to just start talking a little bit about some stuff going on in the world really quick and move into our guest in a little bit here, probably about 5 to 10 minutes and stuff. But Mark Maidana is retiring.
Marcus Maidana.
Yeah, just came
really?
Out.
Yeah, just came out today.
Which, if I remember correctly, and then lately, the older you get, your dreams start becoming reality, and I don't know, but wasn't there like a big picture of him like really fat on the beach or something like that?
I don't know, let me look.
I think there was. Like, I remember seeing the picture going, I don't think he's coming back.
Let me see if I can find a picture.
Just type in Maidana fat on beach. But so that doesn't really then surprise me. I mean, he took the Mayweather money and is probably not in boxing shape anytime soon. It is.
There was one for March 12th. Marcos Maidana's physical condition worries fans.
Yeah, that's it. See, I didn't dream that. So
let me see if I can pull up a picture. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't look like he was boxing anytime soon.
No. I mean, he's my size in that picture.
Right.
So, yeah.
He's like that idiot that wins the lottery twice. You know, like you hit a jackpot and then you like read in the newspaper that same person won another $12 million on a jackpot. Because, you know, he had the fight against Mayweather and all he did was, you know, fight Mayweather a little dirty, and Mayweather still dominated it.
Right.
And then there was a Mayweather Maidana 2, as if it needed, and then Mayweather just schooled him.
Yeah.
So anyways, he's that idiot that hit the lottery twice.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to come back.
No, not at all.
But, yeah, I remember seeing that picture. I know exactly the picture you're looking at. I was like, did I dream that or not? We're going to have to look it up.
That.
He didn't look like he was boxing anytime soon, is what it's getting at. But we got to talk about well, see, something just came up too. Should I go, Marv, past to forward, or should I go like talk future events and then highlight the past? What should we do here? Really
what's
quick?
The big? What's the bigger story?
Okay. The bigger story would be this.
The bigger story you save to the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's my piano man, if Billy Joel, my encore, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so.
But you would tease it with, you know, we have breaking news coming up or big story coming up. You would tease it.
Well, I don't know if it's a huge.
This is excellent radio right here.
Well, I mean, hey, if you ever want to start a show.
Podcast.
Here's some tips. You.
Right, exactly.
Remember last week how I teased our break with the story of.
Right,
That's what you want to do.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you want to do?
We should have had this conversation three and a half years ago.
No, so it was released with Andre
40
Ward.
Months ago.
Andre Ward fought Alexander Brand, and it was a release what each fighter made.
Yes.
And Andre Ward, he made $850,000, which is probably where he's at.
Yep.
He's not a pay-per-view star yet.
Well, because this was a feeder fight for him for Kovalov.
Correct.
Yeah.
Marv, if I was to tell you one fighter made $850,000 and his opponent is nowhere in the same class, but what would you think that Alexander Brand brought to the table? What was he paid out?
I'm confused by the question.
Okay, so if I said champion A over here is getting $850,000,
right,
but an opponent not expected to win, okay, what do you think that opponent at minimum should make?
Oh, okay. Well, so champ's getting $850,000?
Yes.
Oh, he should make half at least.
He made $30,000.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in a perfect world.
No, I mean, you're right.
$30,000.
That means that
you have the worst management Ward, team ever.
Yeah. Well, but also that means that Ward made $820,000 more than him, which is Marv, you know math. What's that?
I'm on it right now.
How much percentage more did Ward get? And I'm curious about that.
Okay, give me a second.
Because
I can't do that in my head.
I don't do math.
If they only paid him $30,000, chances are they made him buy a program with his name in it. You know, he didn't even get a free one of those.
They made him buy his own water.
He probably had to pay for parking.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, that might have been the worst deal ever.
Yeah. Well, I would hope that maybe
right over there in $25 for parking.
Well, I was going to say, I would hope if you're only giving him $30,000 that you say, okay, well, we're going to give you a couple of incidentals. You know, we'll give you a towel, we'll give you some water. We won't make you pay for parking, but you got to park all the way over there.
That,
you know,
that's ridiculous.
What is that?
28 times
more. I mean, that's ridiculous. Even, you know, honestly, if you think about it, I don't even think Mayweather has ever made 28 times more than his opponent.
No.
Even though he's making millions upon millions of dollars. That's just ridiculous.
Even if he's making that many times, those people are still pulling $2 to $6 million. So,
right,
like, that's not bad. $30,000.
$30,000, that's not even, like –
You can take off, like, the last zeros to, like, bring it down to, like, something that, like, we can fathom. Like, it would be, like, if I got paid $850 to do this show and Jimmy got paid $30.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's the exact same –
Exactly.
Or even still, it would be if I got paid $85 to do the show and Jimmy got paid $3.
Right.
To really, like...
it's still
$3.85. If you think about it, he got paid $30,000. Now, let's say that he doesn't do any more fights the entire year, right?
He made what a...
He makes less.
A city worker made.
He makes less than somebody who is barely, you know, making about $15 an hour.
I was going to say
maybe he wanted that because he didn't want off food stamps or something. Like, he's like, hey, you go 40, I lose the food stamps.
Yeah, maybe. Because honestly, like, no.
He knew the cutoff.
If he had no other fight this year, made no other like significant amount of money, he would qualify for food stamps.
He's
He really would.
Yeah.
Maybe he outsmarted everybody.
Maybe.
So $30,000. What's Uncle Sam take out of that?
Oh, so he's going to Uncle Sam's going to take like 25%.
So,
it's worse.
Wait, hold on. So
yeah, 30, 20, you're at like the 20.
Okay, so when I got paid, because I'm just thinking of it this way. When I got paid from Uncle Sam, lump sum, when I joined the military, I got $20,000. I actually got $15,000 after taxes. He probably got about...
He got $22,500.
He got $22,500, after taxes.
By the way, way off subject, though, they shouldn't be taxing the military. I'm sorry.
When you're in a combat zone, you don't get taxed, but you get taxed. And it's funny, too, because I got paid by the state of Michigan because the National Guard, Michigan, you get paid by the state.
Right.
But I was still paying state taxes on all my drill pay, so I was literally paying for myself to pay myself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it is. But when you're in a combat zone, nothing's taxed. And that's why a lot of guys re-up in a combat zone because that lump sum money that they get is non-taxable and they get the full amount.
Yeah.
Well, we got to move on to this story. This was broken by the Review Journal, which is one of Las Vegas's newspapers. It's the Las Vegas Sun and the Review Journal if you follow those things. So Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev was supposed to be then hands down – good.
Right.
Tickets were supposed to go on sale this Friday.
Yes.
Roc Nation, who represents Andre Ward, mm-hmm. has now put a stop on those ticket sales.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. So the rumor is, according to the Review Journal, is that this thing was supposed to take place at T-Mobile Arena, that giant
beautiful arena out in
Vegas. And now Roc Nation wants to move it either to Madison Square Gardens or somewhere else, which makes no sense unless you're afraid of like – well, the only thing I could think of is there's no way Ward knocks out Kovalev.
Yeah.
And maybe you just don't trust the Nevada Commission to pick the judges correctly for you.
And that's a possibility.
So there's a delay.
Okay.
Which will suck because I think Andre Ward – I'll talk as a fan and not somebody that writes for Fight News right now. He's so boring. I mean, like, he sets the sport back like 5 years, and I can't watch him, so I don't know how anyone else can. And you can say he's – like, Mayweather was at least – entertaining the way he would roll and be defensive and be able to do the lead right and everything. I can't watch Andre Ward. I'm sorry. And I would watch to see Sergey Kovalev. This is a fan talking, not the journalist talking. I would watch for Sergey Kovalev to knock Ward down and hand him his first loss.
Mm-hmm.
But as for if I was going to introduce someone to boxing, I would not show him anything Andre Ward anytime soon or encourage that.
I just double checked and went on to Ticketmaster to try to buy Ward versus Kovalev tickets, and it's saying that we currently do not have any tickets on sale for Kovalev versus Ward.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Boo.
Boo.
All right. So we do got to talk.
Boo this man. All right.
We do got to talk a little bit about the Olympics.
Yes.
Which I'm protesting. I'm not watching.
Why?
There's many reasons, and we'll get into it a little bit later on in the show. But the number one reason is I don't like that the pro boxers are fighting amateur boxing. And I was into it when it was in London, and I was definitely into it for Sochi. But like, I don't know. I'm just done with it. Maybe the Zika stories or the sewage water stories just made me not want to watch it. I did see the gymnast though. No, everyone saw the gymnast.
Yeah.
Even my
son. Did you hear the snap?
Right.
Oh, God.
When he lands, you can hear the snap.
Hey, he's not coming home with the gold medal, but he will have a titanium rod.
Oh,
so there you go.
No.
He does come home with
too
some medal.
Soon, dude. Too soon.
Hey, my son just broke his leg.
Yeah, that's true. He can make those jokes.
My son.
He's allowed.
Yeah, my son watched it, and he was like, ooh, that was worse than mine. He was just like, he was analyzing.
I know your son went through a lot of pain, but did at any point his leg just flop around?
No, and the paramedics did not drop him when they were taking him to the hospital.
It was like a Jerry Lewis movie. I mean, honestly, I was expecting to see, you know, the Keystone Cops come out.
Well, what impressed me most was that, it had to just be shock setting in or whatever, but man, just kind of laid there holding it up.
Well, no, it was completely shock.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, but I'm just like, I'm thinking to myself, like, if that were my leg, like, I am secure enough as a man to be like, I would be crying for my mama. And he's just like holding his leg like, ah, shit.
Well, I mean, what country was he from? Does anybody remember?
France or Italy? Italy.
Okay, maybe. So it's not one of the doping countries.
No.
I would say, because he was just really high.
But, well, France or Italy, he could have been drunk out of his mind.
That's
like
true
wine.
Too.
Like, he probably threw back three or four bottles.
But see, I don't think
something.
It is as bad as the cyclist. Did you see the cyclist the same day?
I didn't see
that.
The woman cyclist going downhill, it's raining, and then, like, she laid, like, I thought she was dead. I was like, well, that girl died.
Oh,
and, broken. You have to.
I don't want to misquote
right, it, and then definitely watch it. I always wonder that with the bike races because they're going so freaking fast, and it was raining too. I was like, this isn't going to be good.
Okay, cyclist crash Olympics.
Now she has a lot more worse than her going on.
Okay, so hold on here.
We should start a podcast where we just Google things.
I like that, dude. Let's do it.
I'm trying to read the.
Our pre-production is like no other.
No, because there's no pre-production.
It's non-existent. We do our pre-production during the first 10 minutes of
right,
the show.
Exactly.
We're laying out what we got going on.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to read the thing. She suffered a concussion and had 3 spinal fractures. Oh, wait.
What the?
Theatrical music for that.
No, that was
spot on, Jimmy. I was like, what the hell just happened? Does everybody hear that?
She suffered a concussion and 3 spinal fractures after she lost control of her bike as she maneuvered around a corner late in the race. Her bike hit a curb and Van Vleuten flipped over her handlebars. I'm going to see if I can – this might have some audio with it. So hold on here.
Well, yeah, because the –
Oh, man.
That was worse.
That was bad. That was worse. That was worse, yeah.
And then three vertebrae.
Spinal fractures, yeah.
So hopefully she's okay.
Well, she tweeted from the hospital saying she was okay. So
can she walk? Was she tweeting with her toes? Because I don't know if she's okay.
Well, she's holding the phone out like this. So, I mean, she at least
could be waist down. Could be waist down.
Well, you never know. She at least has use of her arms.
Yeah, that was the worst crash I saw.
Maybe even she'll be in the Paralympics next year.
Jimmy,
that's too soon.
See, you're determined to get us thrown off before 200, aren't you?
I did watch a little bit of the opening ceremony. Yeah. God, they're too long.
Oh, I know.
It's the only time.
It's the only time in your life where you don't have to take acid to go on an acid trip.
Yeah, right. I like the countries that are only sending one Olympian to, and they come out by themselves with no friends.
What was that one? It was like Toboggan or something like that. It was some country that nobody's ever heard of before.
Right.
Yeah, and everybody was like tweeting like, what is this country? Like the Wikipedia, like not one hit before, and now like 50,000 some odd people are all looking up this country.
I love it too how America likes to rub in like the capitalist society that we become as we come out with our Ralph Lauren blazers with the giant horses,
and then some of them have like a skirt
right with Izod with stains on it. He's like, this is the shirt they gave me, dude. I'm here. Like some of these people didn't have like the organization.
No,
but, like America's just like, look at this Ralph Lauren.
Yes,
and then like some countries are like, no, I swear there was a stain on his Izod shirt.
No, I'm sure there was.
Well, at least it was an Izod
shirt. It was a Dorito staining,
and he didn't show up in like a Lions Super Bowl winner shirt, like those ones that we send that are like.
We don't want these anymore. You can have them.
Why is it, why is it swish backwards? Is it why does Adidas have four lines? That's three. Yeah, so maybe it was a knockoff or anything.
Yeah.
But I couldn't make it the whole 4 hours. I made it I don't know. Probably a good hour.
Well, I watched the actual like ceremony where they do all the pageantry
lighting?
And
the lighting.
Yeah,
I like the
March of Nations or whatever. I'm like, okay, turn that off. Okay, turn it back on. Okay, well, I never heard of that country before. I'm gonna look that up. Oh, that was interesting. Okay, turn something else.
Before I introduce my first guest, I want everyone to ponder this. There was a great article written, and I can't give the person credit because I don't even have my computer up yet. But does MMA need to be validated by being an Olympic sport? So I want everybody to think about
question.
That because we do have some MMA people in here. But first, we got to introduce Javier, good friend of the show. Javier has been with us since day one. Javier is with Michigan Top Team. Based out of Dearborn, Michigan, on Michigan Avenue. He's got a couple fighters with him here that is fighting this weekend, WXC. Not only are they fighters, but they're ranked number one in the state in their respectable weight class. One's a flyweight, one's a heavyweight. But I'm going to let Javier introduce them. So who do you got with us today, Javier? Well,
how you guys doing today, Mr. Undercard?
Good.
Good.
I got Big Leroy Johnson over here to my left, and I got Jesse Bozzi here. To my right.
What's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Hi, guys.
Good, good. How
not too bad.
Going?
Just out of practice.
Yeah. Just out of what?
Just out of practice.
Oh, okay.
Just coming right from the gym.
Yeah, all right, nice.
I can't smell you. So.
Smell these hands.
You can't smell anything past me. I'm pretty rank right now.
Well, smell these hands may be the dirtiest thing ever said on the show. Remember, that's me saying that.
Yeah, that is pretty bad when it's you saying that.
I'm going to assume Leroy doesn't have much of a weight cut going on here, but Jesse, are you in weight cut mode right now?
I am, but I always diet real well and train hard, so my weight cut isn't really hard. I don't get too stressed out like most others do.
All right.
Do you have a big cut from your walking weight?
Not really. Okay. I walk around at 138, fight at 125.
Oh, that's not too bad then. Well, yeah, I've seen
we're in the same weight class.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
In your right leg.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's start off with Leroy Johnson. Heavyweights, those are the people that typically people love, and whether it be boxing or MMA. Tell us a little bit about your behind-the-scenes stories. What led you to MMA?
Actually, what led me into MMA is I was competing like in college wrestling at Eastern Michigan. and I got so far out of shape. Like, very just...
While wrestling?
You know, once I had...
Oh, it's quit.
Oh, stopped.
Yeah, once gotcha. Yeah, once I had gotten out of college and started traveling around the country following a girlfriend who was like a travel nurse.
Uh-huh.
Oh, always the girl.
Always the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she was...
Traveling nurse or circus freak?
Traveling nurse.
All right, cool.
So, well, we didn't make a stop in New Orleans, so it could have been more circus free.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
That's for sure.
But, yeah, and then all of a sudden I walked into a gym, F3 Fitness, which still does my strength conditioning programming, and they had an amateur heavyweight champion, and I just started rolling with him and being able to handle him. They're like, yeah, you're going to be on our fight team. I was like, all right, I'll give it a try, no problem. So I trained for a year straight before I ever stepped in a cage as an amateur, and that led me down the road to where am I now.
All right, so wrestling background at a Division I school. I'm going to ask you a question that I like to ask people, but I don't believe I've ever asked it on the air. Wrestling, you guys are very familiar with takedowns, very familiar with positioning and everything like that. What is the biggest challenge against somebody that is schooled from the discipline of jiu-jitsu as a wrestler? What are your strengths as a wrestler that a jiu-jitsu practitioner doesn't have? And what does a jiu-jitsu practitioner not have that a wrestling background might have?
Well, it also depends on, like, the type of school, I guess, you're coming from as far as jiu-jitsu. Like, with Detroit jiu-jitsu, downstairs from Top Team, they're a very competitive base. So walking in there is almost like walking into a wrestling room. Like, you go through a grind when you walk through that room. Like, everybody is a killer, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's able to submit you in some way, shape, or form. But I guess some of the advantages in being a wrestler versus being a strict jiu-jitsu practitioner is probably a little bit better at body placement and explosiveness from those awkward positions as opposed to, like, somebody looking for a submission, whereas I might be looking just to hold you still and then all of a sudden explode and throw you around or toss you over my head or whatever.
Do you think maybe someone who started off doing just jiu-jitsu and not wrestling, do you think that maybe they have an easier time feeling comfortable on their back? Because as a wrestler, you're not supposed to ever want to be on your back.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when I first started doing jiu-jitsu and I was just terrified to go to my back. They're like, no, that's normal. I'm like, I don't like
it. I don't feel right.
I'm like, I don't like
it. I don't feel right. Yeah.
But as I've competed more, like this past year, I competed at the Pan American Games and Jiu-Jitsu World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten definitely more comfortable
okay.
in doing so.
And
so,
he's placed. I mean, Leroy's a badass in Jiu-Jitsu. He's keeping himself humble right here, but let's talk real. You know, he placed in both the Pan Ams and the World Championships at Blue Belt as an competing as adults, right?
Yep.
Okay. I mean,
that's a pretty accomplishment within himself. You know, I think it's just his first year really training jiu-jitsu as much as he has on Detroit Jiu-Jitsu with Danny and Anthony over there, but he's kicking some serious ass over there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on this weekend. Who's your opponent? What do you know about your opponent? And what does this win mean to you when you get it on Saturday?
Well, let's see. My opponent is Pat Walsh. He's former UFC light heavyweight, 185. He competed on the Ultimate Fighter with the light heavyweights. And he's got that wrestling background base. Like, he wrestled at Ohio State, I do believe. And I've been fortunate enough to have a
couple. Yeah, but I mean, that's Ohio State. I mean.
Say what you want. I'm a big Michigan fan, but when it comes to wrestling, Ohio is no joke.
Yeah,
to be perfectly honest.
Well, it's just because they got nothing else to do down there.
Absolutely, I know those guys from Ohio and Pennsylvania. They don't do anything else.
Well, it's not like they have a football team or anything, you know.
I don't want.
Well, I've heard they're working on one.
Damn. But. Like I said, I've been fortunate enough on my Saturdays, last couple Saturdays, I've been able to go down to Strong Style and train with Dan Spahn and Stipe Miocic. Dan, who actually was on the same Ultimate Fighter as my opponent, was able to give me a couple tips and insights. So that was awesome.
Nice. Now, I got a quick question for you on ShareDog. It shows that your last fight was at Camp Lejeune for the Leather. Was that... How did that come about? It was for all Marines, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. The show was based just for the Marines that were I have to make sure, because it's called a camp.
Right.
I have to make sure, because we were calling it something else on the
A video. Base or yeah. something, yeah. Don't ever call it a base. Yeah exactly.
I learned that as I stepped on. But I was also shocked when I stepped out there. I was like, wait, they have McDonald's? Like,
no, where was this?
like in the camp.
No, I mean where in the world was this? Where's Camp Lejeune?
South Carolina.
Okay. Carolina. Okay. Gotcha.
So it was a long drive, but amazing once we got down there.
Yeah.
Everybody was super nice. I was kind of like shocked a little bit.
Really? Were you expecting them to start yelling at you or something?
Slightly.
Okay.
I thought everybody was just going to be like not happy from like having to be in drills or whatever else.
Was it Randy? No, that's their life.
Yeah, Randy Couture was a guest. Like commentator.
Okay.
He was the one who slapped my belt on me. So
nice.
It was kind of cool.
Very cool. Very awesome. Cool.
Now you mentioned with Pat, that's a name. You want to beat a name.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to be pretty excited this week.
I try not to get too like crazy about it. I look at it as a fight. Anything can happen. And I don't get really caught up in names. At least I try not to. Like, the more people talk about it, I just try to focus on something else, because, you know, this will be a big win for me.
Huge awesome. Win. And you're the co-main event, right?
Absolutely.
All right. The main event is Johnny Bedford versus guys that you're familiar with really quickly, Mike Hurricane Hernandez, who is always around Michigan Top Team. Ton of heart, Hernandez. Fun to watch. Very exciting to watch. A couple good main events here.
Mike has an ability to just turn it on when he steps in the cage, and it's awesome to watch, because I see him as a little guy, but the kid can crack. He can hit. Absolutely. But he has
always trying something new in the ring. Like a lot of unorthodox things come out from him, but that's what he knows the fans want to see.
Absolutely. He's all about keeping everybody excited, and he loves it. Because, well, in his Bellator fight, he did a flying Superman into the guy who was on the ground. I was like,
what?
Yeah, it was crazy. Mike will.
It's like a
anything.
Superman, like, jump, dive, bomb,
yeah,
punch or something?
Absolutely. That's wow. exactly what it was like.
He deserves the main card this weekend, I mean, for sure.
Yeah. And we got to move over here to Jesse here really quick. Jesse, tell everybody a little bit about how you got involved with MMA and how you found Michigan Top Team.
I started off as a street fighter, actually. And one of my friends got into a gym, and he invited me in, and I tried it out, and I fell in love from the first day. And I bounced around at a few small gyms, and like 2 years ago, I came to Michigan Top Team, and just everything from there just skyrocketed. My exposure, my skill, everything.
Now, Cody, good friends with us and good friends, obviously, with Javier, said that when he got involved in MMA, the urge to fight outside of a cage went down. You said you were a street fighter. Has that curbed it a little bit? Because Cody even said to us on air one time, he's like, you're just so exhausted from working out, fighting all the time anyways, that when somebody challenges you at the bar, you just kind of laugh it off, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, just competition wise if somebody like starts shit with me on the streets, I just don't really care, because I know what I can do to them, and I sort of try to brush it off. But I mean, you know, if they keep going, then whatever happens.
Right.
It goes down, right?
But I don't care to initiate the fighting outside of the cage.
It'd be like, I won't fight you today, but on Sunday after my event on Saturday, right, right. I'm going to come find you at 10 a.m., okay, and we'll do this.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about your opponent. Who you're fighting this week? Where do you rank your opponent? What strengths does he have, and what strengths do you have against your opponent?
I'm fighting Malcolm Gordon. He's out of Canada, I believe Ontario. He's number one over there in Ontario, and I think number five in all of Canada. So it's a pretty good matchup for me. Well, it's a good win for me. It's probably my toughest fight yet, but I want that to be every fight. I want every fight to be my toughest fight yet, and keep moving up in the ranks. So I like this win for me. My first time fighting somebody out of Michigan, so I like that exposure, and he's not from the States, so that's good too.
Right.
I think he's more of a wrestling based. I seen he does have a little bit boxing, but more wrestling, more just like a grinder wrestling, not really looking to improve when he gets down. I don't know. So my strengths is I'm pretty good on the ground. I think I can handle his wrestling, get back up to my feet or submit him, and I can definitely put these hands on him. I notice he don't like to get hit much. He likes to shoot to wrestling whenever he does start exchanging.
Now, back over to Leroy here really quick. The heavyweights, everybody feels the need for the crowd. They want you guys swinging. They want the fist flying and everything. But you just mentioned you come from a strong wrestling background. Do you listen to the crowd at all? I know you're always listening for your corner and stuff. But you know they want you to slug it out with the heavyweight. I don't want you to reveal strategy or anything. But do you ever hear the crowd, the boos, and does that change the way you're fighting mid-fight?
To be perfectly honest, once you're – like you might have a little bit of feeling, a little bit of excitement when you're walking out. But once that cage door – once the cage door closes, you can only hear a select few voices. That's – you focus on – you go back to who ever's been coaching you through the entire camp, and those are the voices you can hear. Because, I mean, there are times when Darren actually hasn't been in my corner – and he's been outside, and I've heard his voice. I can, like, you can pick up on that type of stuff, surprisingly. Or, like, from my Bellator fight, I'm on the opposite side of the cage. You know, you got to realize, like, the Bellator cage is actually bigger than the octagon because it's round.
Just a huge circle.
And I'm on the opposite side of the cage, and I can hear my corner like they're standing right next to me.
Oh wow!
So it's one of those things where you're tuning everything else out, and it's time to throw some hands.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to let the fight. I see it more in boxing, in which there's many times where a boxing match is, for whatever reason, not going the way the fans want and the boos. And I've talked to boxers, and they said, "Yeah, that kind of did affect me. I felt like we weren't doing a performance." But you're saying you don't hear that?
Not as of yet.
Okay,
but then I've never had anybody really. Boomy, I don't think.
It would be booing you. They would be booing if you guys are, like, right, you know, on the mat.
Not booming. They're not booing at you. They're just booing in general.
It could be the greatest chess match going on that
the
mat,
ground.
But they won't appreciate it.
Right,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are those fights that, you know, not the average fan can appreciate what's going on, because I've seen UFC fights where I'm totally glued to the TV, but everybody around me is like,
This
fight
boring.
Is so boring.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you got to understand.
the minutiae of the ground game.
This isn't checkers. It's chess.
Right, exactly.
He's seven steps ahead, and he's trying to checkmate this guy.
Right. Now, what about you, Jesse? Same question.
No, I never let it bother me. I actually do hear everything that's going on. Unlike Leroy, I do hear some stuff that's going on. My last fight, I think it was one of the photographer girls. She's sitting there. I'm on top of the guy beating him up, and she's like, "You said you was gonna knock him out, let him stand up," and I'm just sitting there beating him up still.
Wow.
But I don't let it bother me. I stick to whatever I'm doing to win.
I mean, given the choice, submission or a knockout?
I'd prefer a knockout any time, but, you know, people want to wrestle, try to grapple, I'll switch over to that.
How about you, Leroy?
Oh, sorry.
I'm still waiting for my first knockout in the cage. I've got a couple in the gym, but I'm waiting for mine in the cage. I'd really love to have one. It's like a legit clean knockout where it's just like, yeah, you hit him and I can turn away and walk away and be like, yeah, he's done.
I was going to say, because you have a TKO against Derek Weaver, according to your record.
Well, Derek's a good guy, but he just kind of wanted out of the cage.
Oh, okay.
Like, he got caught with an overhand and his eyes kind of spun backwards, and then he said his shoulder hurt.
Oh, okay. Because it does say doctor stoppage.
Yeah, so, technical knockout.
So I don't, like, I mean, I put one on him a good overhand because he's 6'5". He's ridiculously tall. But I mean, he was cool about it. We had some drinks afterwards, so had a little talk.
That's nice.
I like the back and forth, though. You know, the back and forth, the grind. Real serious fight. I mean, you know, Jesse here had a great fight going back and forth. I mean, it was a freaking hell of a fight. And you're just glued to the cage, and I mean, I really love those kind of fights when two guys are just going to war. It's gladiators, and nobody's giving up. I mean, one goes down, he gets back up. The other one goes down, and he gets back up. I mean, those are the killer fights that you just are just amazed by MMA fighters, how they just grind it out. I mean, sometimes it's like, how in the hell is he standing up?
Right.
And there he goes, and he started knocking him out, knocking the other guy out.
Yeah.
It's been it's crazy, man. It's very crazy.
We'll do this one more time at the end of the interview, but just in case someone's tuning in right now, Leroy, where can people find you on Facebook or social media if they want to follow your career?
I think my Instagram is like ljohnson264mma. I think my Twitter is the exact same. I have a website. It's just LeroyJohnsonMMA to follow whatever I've got going on. And my fan page is just LeroyJohnsonMMA as well.
All right. How about you, Jesse, really quick?
On Facebook, Jesse Arabazi. I don't have a fan page on there yet. And then you can follow me on Instagram at jbazi125.
Really quickly, too, if people want to buy tickets from you, because I always allow the fighters to sell them first before the promoters get the money because I'm pro fighter. Right. Where can they reach you guys? Through Facebook is a good place to get tickets for this event?
Yeah, Facebook or Instagram, whatever. Just private message me. We'll get in touch.
Now, Javier, I trust your judgment really good with jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And when jiu-jitsu came along, it's been around forever, but when the Gracies brought it into mixed martial arts and it just took off, it was the whole idea of weight didn't matter.
Correct.
But when you're rolling with a guy as big as Leroy, and I'm looking at him right now and the size of you, does that still hold true in jiu-jitsu that –
You know, I've trained with Leroy plenty of times, especially when he was doing pans. We used to just roll together. And like I told him, I said, you know, the only thing I can really get you at is your ankles, your legs. Try to stay the hell away from you because, you know, and I'll try to pick on that. But it is true. I mean, I'm a big, big, big believer in that size really doesn't matter in jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's why I fell in love with it. That's why I've been doing it for so many years. And, you know, like I said, when I was rolling with Leroy, I knew for a fact. I mean, my only chance were to grab him. Where I know his weakest points would be is, you know, his ankles or something like that. But when he gets on top of me, holy shit. I mean, you're talking about the world just crashing on me big time. But, I'm a strong believer in that. It doesn't really matter if you really know your stuff.
Yeah, it seems to me the size with the wrestling background and some jiu-jitsu, I mean, that's a huge advantage you take into the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, you know, like rolling with Javier, like, crazy ankle locks get me every time. One day I'll figure it out. But also, like, you want to bring up Alex Hody. How heavy is he?
He's about 150, 160, and he's just a complete monster.
And I can't touch him.
No, he's got you.
I can't even come close.
You also got Jason Fisher over there, who is amazing at jiu-jitsu. So you guys got a lot of people teaching over there. Who else do you want to give a shout-out to, your coaching staff? And then we'll let Jesse give a shout-out to everybody helping him in his corner also.
You know, a big thing like Danny Ajami downstairs, Detroit Jiu-Jitsu, Anthony Fawaz, who has been a big supporter and a big coach. And, of course, all our guys like, you know, Cody Stamen, Darren, Jason. Those guys, like, we couldn't do this because being at our gym is like an extended family. And it's just one of those things. You feel very comfortable when you walk in.
Yeah. How about you, Jesse?
Yeah, man. All the coaches he mentioned, you know, Darren does a hell of a job. He comes in and he puts in more hours than anyone. Some of these guys come in on Sundays and help us. Kara Rowe, she's helped.
Kara's amazing.
Yeah. She's helped everybody improve their stand-up and just their fighting game in general with the footwork that she adds to us, the control of the cage and or the ring or whatever you're in. The footwork's really important. She's done that. And then all the guys down at DJHA, they help us out whenever we need it. They do small glove work with us, a lot of guys down there.
A couple things about Kara Rowe I know. One, you're not going to show up to a lesson late or she's going to make you run.
Oh, yeah,
and
stairs.
Then two, yeah, and two, she's going to work you harder than any trainer you've ever had.
She'll also tell you when you're doing something wrong, and she will not hesitate. She'll be like, oh, my God, my eyes are bleeding.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that again.
Hey.
What'd you say?
You're right, eh?
Yeah, we got really lucky putting Kara as one of the main coaches over there. You know, and like I always say, I mean, she can go to a pro fighter, an amateur fighter, or just somebody who's just beginning. And she reacts and does the same thing. I mean, she creates champions. I mean, that's no bullshit. I have a lot of respect for Kara, and I've known her for a long time. But when she actually grinds on them pros, man, I look at her, and I hear them weird comments, and I'm like, fuck, man, nobody else is saying it. but that's a real coach. You got to tell them what she's doing, you know, when you're doing crap, and you got to tell them when they're doing good.
Right.
Then you got to just be honest with them, pull them aside, and say, you know, you got to really pick it up because this guy's going to come after you, you know. He's training just as hard as you are to kill you.
Right.
And she comes with the strong credentials as never losing a bout in boxing. I mean, just she did, just like Mayweather, she never knew what defeat felt like.
You know, yesterday, I was sitting there, and one of the guys just walked in, and he wasn't really training at all. He's just a newbie. He's like, yeah, I mean, she looks like a Holly Holm. I said, you have no idea who the hell you're talking about. I mean, that world, that's a world champion right there. Exactly. I mean, the boxer. And I said, you have no idea. She goes, well, you, it wouldn't seem that way if you're looking at her and, you know, just walking down the street. I'm like, hell no, it doesn't, man. You don't want to be pinching her butt or anything because you get your ass kicked.
Carrot and crack, you don't even want to try it. Even when she's just, like, demonstrating and you hold your glove up.
Everybody's scared.
You kind of shy away a little bit. You're just like, don't hurt me, please. You're trying to show this.
Now, a question for Javier before we go to our first break, and we'll be continuing with Jesse and Leroy after the break also. But, Javier, you've been around the sport now as long as the undercard's been a radio show and stuff. And there's been some new law changes. UFC has avoided us since the Palace of Auburn Hills, and make no mistake, they have freaking avoided us bringing events. Bellator's been here a little bit. What do you think the state of the union is for Michigan MMA right now? Obviously, there's a lot more room for improvement, but less promotions better so far, you think?
You know, since I started looking into MMA when I first started doing jiu-jitsu, and I started seeing these guys really grind it out, and I had a lot of respect for them. That's when I really got involved with the Evolution program, sponsoring a lot of people. But, you know, I tell you, there's a lot of good people out there trying to do better for Michigan MMA. You know, I have a lot of respect for the guys really pushing it. And I think a lot of promoters, you know, are really just going forward with the right stuff nowadays than back in the days. I mean, I can't really speak in general how it really was because I really wasn't that involved in it. But from what I see from me looking in, you know, I really do think that a lot of people are giving a good fourth effort of trying to get things the right way and try to protect the fighters as well. I mean, I really do.
Yeah, and as WXC has been around for a long time, Norbert and Mike do their thing, and they do it well in the Downriver region, and they have it organized.
Joe Battaglia.
Joe Battaglia is amazing. You know, Donofrio does his
Donofrio
too.
Donofrio as well. Donofrio, man, he's a cool cat. I mean, I've had a lot of conversations, personal conversations with Donofrio, and, you know, he really does push a lot of different issues. You know, Joe's been around for a while. I have a lot of respect for Joe and what he's done for, you know, TXC. And, who's that guy, Pete?
Petey.
You know, he throws some great shows as well. I mean, there's a lot of great promoters out there doing the right things. And, you know, Mike Pinelli and Norbert, I mean, they're throwing a hell of a show. They got 9 of our fighters on there. And I think we were talking about it a little bit before the show. And, you know, I think it's a great thing for Michigan MMA and also Michigan Top Team.
All right, we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we got What's on Tap eventually with Jimmy from Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to be back with Leroy and Jesse. We're going to be talking a little bit more about their fights happening this Saturday, WXC Taylortown.
You're listening to The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard, episode 199. Just a little bit further on what happened with Marcos Maidana as Dan Raphael. Don't forget, I want Dan Raphael's job at ESPN. So everybody always knows that. ESPN senior writer. Basically, his fire is gone. He, at 33 years of age, and he turned pro in 2014, held 2 world titles, made millions, fought in a manner that made him a fan favorite. But he says his exact quote to ESPN is, "After a long time out of the ring and after giving it a lot of thought since my last fight, I've decided to hang up the gloves for good." He wrote in a letter addressed to boxing friends on social media, "Probably my decision would not surprise much as I've given hints of this in the last few months, but at the time I'm making it official. Before anything else, I must say that I leave very proud and deeply thankful to boxing and everything that I have achieved. I really never imagined getting this far when I put on a pair of gloves for the first time when I was 15. I think I was able to put the name of my country, Argentina, very high after winning 2 world titles, winning and losing against the best fighters in the world. I had a tough career, and I fulfilled many of my dreams. I'm a very happy man with my family and friends by this my side these days. I know many of you think I still have things to do and battles to fight, and I respect them. That is something that I had in my mind in the last few months, but only those who really know what a real challenge is, like the ones I've always had, may understand that. You have to be absolutely motivated to approach them. Only through great physical and mental effort you can mix in the ring with best of the world if winning is your goal. And I always wanted to win. Today I don't feel motivated enough. I don't have the fire inside me to intend to climb the mountains again. That is why I announced my retirement at this time. So the fire's gone, which is good. You don't want a fighter sticking around when it's not there. It happens to every fighter at some time or another. There, the training camps and the training and everything that goes into fighting goes away. But 33, really young. I was thinking he was 35, but 33. But, wow, young. So good for him, though. Good career. And he got the two paydays from Mayweather, so that's
right,
the most
exactly.
important thing.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Right, exactly. And you're not going
to think those
hit.
Paydays had anything to do with...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He went,
yeah.
I don't need to do this anymore.
Exactly, oh, yeah. Right? Like, I have a ton of money. I can get punched in the face some more. Or...
I can retire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, Roy Jones Jr. is fighting again.
Really?
Yes, he is. He's fighting again in August... maybe not this weekend or the weekend after. He's fighting in Pensacola, Florida. And here's a guy who might be ruining his legacy, people think, in the media community because he's still fighting. But he's still Roy Jones Jr.
Right, still. But, I mean, there is
but
a
you just don't want him to get hurt.
Right. Well, and not only that, but it's starting to get to the point where it's like, dude, you need to hang it up before it gets bad. And it's getting to that point.
It's that old dude in the club.
Right, exactly. That old dude in the club is going, hey, I can still shake it.
Like, no, you got to listen. Nobody wants to see you do the bee's knees. Right,
right?
Get
exactly.
out of here.
Charleston went out about 80 years ago.
We want to see you whip a nay-nay.
Hot diggity, I can still do it.
You know, I wonder if I should share this story or not. I should probably text the guy before I share this story. But I won't. So Scotty Buck, if this story wasn't meant to get out, I apologize. But Scotty Buck, he wrote in a little private group he has, the Team Buck Boxing Group, is that he doesn't remember much from his boxing days, and it's because of boxing. He believes that he sparred hard. He sparred against people that were heavier than him. He admitted that his short-term and long-term memory isn't quite there. And that he said if he had any regret, he wishes he remembers more about his boxing career. And I thought that was really interesting because now as I'm 38 and some of my friends that are boxers are coming up, you're starting to see the effects of the concussions a lot. a very close friend of ours of the undercard family admitted to me that he's now starting – what was the exact words?
Punchy.
He said, yeah, he said he felt punchy.
Yeah.
And I do believe that. I worry for Roy Jones Jr. because he was viciously knocked out in Europe. I mean, you got to remember, when you lose that edge, you don't want – you know, you got kids, grandkids.
Right, yeah.
And there's more to life than
boxing. You
want to
be around. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, we had somebody admit it to us the other day, and a very young fighter said that he was punchy already. And I was like, man, you know, you just don't like to hear that, A, and B, see that. But Scotty Buck wrote something that I thought was really good, and I want to give him credit for bringing the awareness because he can only remember two concussions he had during his fighting career. But he imagines he had a lot more in sparring and stuff like that.
Oh,
but
I'm sure,
But
yeah.
he said that, you know, so getting back to if you're healthy at 33 years old and you have no cares about money down the road, hopefully you're invested. I don't know what the dollar runs in Argentina. If you live $6 million in Argentina, is living like a king, or if it's expensive to live there. But good for him for getting out of the sport when he realizes he has no more before he fights. I mean, they would have put him against somebody that would want to bang. You're like, going to take a lot of abuse.
Do you think
you
ever face like Canelo?
No, I don't think Canelo. I don't know because of the weights. I don't think so. But, I mean, people would have wanted to see him against somebody that bangs. And if you're not 100% there in the fight, it's just going to be problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Exactly. We're joined by Leroy Johnson and Jesse Bazzi from Michigan Top Team, along with my good friend Javier from Michigan Top Team, who's been a supporter of the undercard from the get-go. So we want to welcome everybody back to this. We're talking a little bit about Michigan MMA, and I do want to talk about the national scene MMA is so different from local scene MMA. I know a lot of people that cover or follow Michigan MMA but don't care about UFC, Bellator, or what goes on a national level. And I know a lot of people that follow the national level and don't care about the local level. But I'm going to start off with Jesse here really quick. Who in the big leagues, I don't care if it's Bellator or UFC, do you like? Do you try to learn stuff from? Who's must-watch TV for Jesse?
Fighter-wise?
Yeah. Well, I mean, ring card girls, if not like fighter-wise. Maybe Dana White. He's always saying something.
Okay. Demetrius Johnson, I mean, he's in my weight class, and he's the best.
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. He's the best champion in any weight class there's ever been. He's the only champion in that weight class, and he shuts everybody down who challenges him, and he makes them look like they don't belong there. So I definitely try to follow him all the time, every fight, in and out of camps.
How about you, Leroy? Who do you like over there?
I
must watch TV. He's on. You got to watch.
Stipe.
Okay.
I can't. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be able to train with him.
Mm-hmm.
And just the amount of pressure that he can put on you is unreal. There's a reason why he's the champ. And I also have to throw this in because you can never not watch Darren.
Oh, yeah.
You can never not watch him.
Yeah. Very exciting.
You have to watch. And that's another thing, like, you know, I'm sure Jesse agrees with me about being able to learn from him. Like, you know, I'm never going to fight like Darren, but picking up little things here and there that can add to my game.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing to watch him in training. It's amazing to watch him in the cage. And it's just like, you can't not watch.
Are you going to learn how to fly kick like he does?
He's got some sick moves.
That would be awesome to see.
Yeah.
A guy your size just...
His last fight in Japan? I mean, holy shit.
A soccer kick.
Yeah, soccer.
Yeah. The best part is he's like, I always wanted to do one. There you go.
You know, before he left, I said, so what are you going to do with it? I'm going to soccer kick. I'm like, you can soccer kick over there? He's like, yeah. So I'm going to do. You know how Darren talks.
Yeah. I'm going to soccer kick his ass.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I love the guy, man. He's crazy.
I think his personality, and I was talking with somebody with connections with Ryzen about it. I think his personality is perfect for Ryzen. They like the entertaining people. They like the people that dress up as bears that come down the walkway.
Yeah.
They like characters in Japan, and they really respect those warriors. And so when Darren comes out wearing the USA blazer –
the Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Walk in. I can see Darren doing that.
The old-fashioned boxing look at the time he had the mustache that was just curling. You knew Japan was going to like him. And then the way he finished with the soccer kick. I mean, that's the way it is in Japan. Then they respect you as a warrior. I think this is a good fit for him. I really do. Ryzen, to me, has some very competitive fights. It's on a world level. Darren's a natural character. We've all talked to him one time or another. He's always joking. I think that's a great fit for him. Yeah. I'd like to see more fighters shoot for Ryzen, to tell you the truth. It comes from a strong background of people that know what they're doing. And I remember, though, it looked like Cody was bored over there, dude. He kept sending me Snapchats of stuff going on in Tokyo or wherever they were in Japan. And he just looked so bored. He's like, oh, boy. Here we are. I was like, go find mischief, Cody. Go have fun.
He found ring girls.
Yeah, they did find ring girls later that night. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
You know, Darren did tell me that in Japan, it was like silent.
Yep,
when
they don't.
Was fighting and shit. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, this is very silent. It's really strange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you're freaking in Japan. That's why, you know, I guess.
And they're very respectful, win or lose, of the warrior for giving their all. A lot of things back there.
They're true fans over there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Jesse, end result, where would you like to be? I mean, you might say UFC. You might say I don't know what you're going to say. Where do you want to be?
Nowhere exactly. I mean, wherever the biggest show is, the biggest money, the biggest exposure, I mean, that's where I want to be. If it's UFC, if they're still at the top, wherever it is, I want to be the champion wherever.
How about you, Leroy?
Of course, everybody would love to have that, you know, that UFC fight. You know, like with me, I feel like I got a little bit lost in the shuffle with Bellator and their changeover because, like, you know, who goes in, gets a win against somebody they're not supposed to beat and kind of gets, like, forgotten about.
Right.
But hey, these things happen. But, you know, that's why I'm trying to make sure I get in on the chip with Darren to go over to Japan to see if I can make some introductions and make an impression.
Wear a bear outfit.
Right, yeah. There you
go. You gotta wear a bear outfit. Just come on.
Do I really have to wear a bear outfit?
Yeah, actually, I don't recommend wearing the bear outfit. You stumble into the wrong bar over there in a bear outfit.
Just wear a Speedo. That's it.
It ends poorly.
Throw the Speedo on. That everybody will turn
their
heads.
That's it.
All right. We got a break really quick. It's time for Jimmy to go what's on tap. Feel free to chime in if you mispronounce a name and you recognize him.
And he will. And he will. He will mispronounce
it. TBA.
It's my favorite. He's my favorite.
TBA fights a lot to be announced.
All right. Once again, this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. August 12th at Verona, New York, PBC on ESPN, we have Miguel Flores versus Ryan Kilchowitzki. 10 rounds for the featherweights.
Okay. Okay.
August 13th at Rosario, Mexico. Antonio Margarito versus Ramon Alvarez. 10 rounds for the junior middleweights. In Finland, we have Edis Tatli versus Christian Morales. 12 rounds for the European lightweight title. Huntington, New York, Anthony Karparis versus Ariel Duran. 10 rounds for the junior welterweights. Pensacola, Florida, we have Roy Jones Jr. versus Rodney Moore.
Well, it's this weekend.
It's this weekend in Pensacola, Florida, yeah.
Go Roy.
Roy Jones Jr. versus Rodney Moore, 10 rounds for the cruiserweights. August 19th, Rochester, New York, Showtime. Jarrell Miller versus Fred Kassi, 10 rounds for the heavyweights.
Go Jarrell Miller, too, friend of the show.
Los Angeles, Estrella TV, we have Vyacheslav Shabransky versus Oscar Rijoaz, 8 rounds for the light heavyweights.
No way.
And Arlington, Virginia, Mikal Fox versus Summer Martin, 8 rounds for the junior welterweights. And then my printer died, so I didn't get all the MMA fights. So, but once again, that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company.
You know, you could have just made up names as well as it usually goes.
I know. I tried to read, but, yeah, I mean, you can see, like, how bad it was. So,
well, there is WXC going on.
There is WXC in Taylortown, yep. There is no UFC or Bellator fights, though. I did check for those.
Yeah. No, UFC's on break for just a week. I think just a week. But they'll be back soon. So we're going to continue with our guests really quick here.
I have a question because we were just talking about Ryzen. We were talking about...
love Ryzen.
Yeah. We were talking about that MMA is kind of a worldwide thing now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just in the States. It's a worldwide thing now. And since we are talking about the Olympics, let's go around the room. Do you think MMA should be an Olympic sport?
No.
And why?
I don't know. I like MMA because I guess going back to the roots back in 93
with the moat and everything.
No, I like the rawness of it. I don't want to see it with shin guards or like head pads or anything. So no, I don't think.
Well,
so.
Do you think? Do you think that they would make them do that or would they?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Really?
It's too brutal for Olympic. I mean, can you imagine? First off, another reason why it wouldn't be a good Olympic sport is that amateur boxing. And you're confined rounds. It's not like they're going 12 rounds or anything like that. Can you imagine if Jesse right here is representing the United States, right? Opening ceremonies, wearing his blazer, you know, polo.
Ralph Lauren.
Next day is in like a 3-round just war against somebody from China. He wins by an arm bar, but he's hurting.
Right.
And then in day two, he has the medal rounds. He's fighting again on 2 days. I don't think it could be done.
Okay.
I really don't, but maybe. What about you, Jesse? You want to see it?
Oh, I think he just changed my opinion. Yeah, I don't think you can compete multiple days in a row in that, but I would like to see it worked in there somehow. But, I mean, it is with the different martial arts that's in the Olympics.
Judo's in there?
Yeah.
Judo's in there. Boxing's in there.
Karate, right? Too? No?
Wrestling. I don't know about karate.
Huh.
I'll have to look. Hold on. Let's continue on the right.
Ask Bob Costas.
Well, I guess and I guess too. Like, so, let's say they do. It does make it into the Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, are you allowed to compete, like, in like an MMA event and a karate event? Like, can you cross? You know what I'm saying? Like, would you let them do that? Because I mean, a lot of other athletes, like, you know, they do the
swimming.
Right, you know, they're a runner. They're, you know what I mean. Like, so really? Would you?
Huh. I don't know. Sure, why not?
Karate is not currently in the Olympics, but it will be in the 2020 games
because it's going back. Where? Where's 2020?
They haven't picked it yet.
Huh. And why did they get rid of baseball and softball in the Olympics?
Well, no, it's because
they're
those
boring.
Are coming back too.
Hey, shoot, don't even start. I love baseball.
The 2020 Olympics will feature surfing, skateboarding,
surfing,
baseball, karate. I'm trying to look at all these things.
I think the pros should compete in surfing, like Kelly Slater, just come out at 42 and still do it.
Yeah, but
surfing, so skateboarding, karate. Surfing, like,
the 2020 Olympics are in Tokyo.
Tokyo, you're right. Surfing, skateboarding, karate, sports climbing will join the Tokyo Olympics in 2020. And baseball and softball, considered one sport, will return to the games.
Oh, wow. Consider one sport. What's that mean?
So I think it's so, like, they're not going to have, like, men and women's baseball and men and women's softball.
Okay, so women's softball.
So women's softball, men's baseball.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Javier, would you like to see MMA and the Olympics?
Absolutely not. No. I would like to see jiu-jitsu in the
jiu-jitsu
Olympics.
Jiu-jitsu would be
jiu-jitsu
awesome.
Jiu-jitsu would be, you know, a good one, yes.
I was watching a judo a little bit, you know, and I was eating dinner with my wife, and I was kind of, you know, scoping out the Olympics, and I was like, that's like watching jiu-jitsu. I mean,
a little bit,
bars,
yeah.
You know, I think it was a baseball choke and so forth. And yeah. I'd love to see jiu-jitsu in the Olympics, but definitely not MMA.
That would be cool. And they missed the golden opportunity with Brazil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It'd be a good country
to
introduce it.
What about you, Leroy?
I'm in agreement with Javier because, I mean, the rule changes you would have to make to MMA, I'm sure you'd probably go to a standing eight, mm-hmm. Probably no headshots at all if you're talking somebody that has to compete, like, multiple times.
Guarantee you there's no soccer kick.
Well, yeah, you know, and like you said, you're talking shin guards, so you're also talking maybe some type of point sparring,
okay,
as opposed to actual, you know, MMA.
Yeah.
So it'd be tough to do. It'd be very difficult to do.
Okay.
MMA is like a, you know, back in the day gladiator kind of stuff.
I mean, yeah.
You snap them two guys in a cage and, you know, wait, and they go to war.
Right.
That's basically it. I mean, you're not going to get a standing eight count in MMA. What the hell?
Yeah. Right.
You know, so,
Marv, any preference?
Nah.
Surfing.
Nah. I don't know. I mean, I think you guys all, you know, you've all made very excellent points. I think, yeah, I think it's overall, I think it's just too brutal of a sport to put in the Olympics.
What about you, Juju? Yes, no?
Like he just said, they made really good points, so it's too brutal. So, no.
Jimmy, you're in the same
place. See,
no.
No? I actually think they should, because you're right. It is a brutal sport. And, yes, you have to think about, okay, how much am I going to do today, knowing that I'm going to, if I win, I'm going to have to fight tomorrow. So it becomes a strategy thing of how far am I going to push it today and still hopefully have enough in reserve to be able to compete in the medal round tomorrow. And that's where the strategy comes in. So I think, I mean, yeah, they might have to change a little bit, but honestly, I don't think you should change too much of it. And I think that if there's enough groundswell, I think that maybe MMA should be at least try it one time and see how it works. And if it doesn't work, you take it off the docket for the next Olympics.
Rochelle?
No.
No, she's like, simple no.
All right, so I'm by myself. All right, that's fine.
I don't know. Surfing in Olympics, really? So that's going to be judging, I imagine.
That is competitive. I mean, yeah, because you got, I mean, skateboarding, too. They're going to do skateboarding, but you got tricks, you got hang time, you got, you know, all the kind of, you know, what kind of wave you're riding, how you ride it, you know, because you're basically doing the tricks on the surfboard.
Will
you're
they,
not just riding it in.
I'm all for surfing if they release sharks into the lake.
Well, I mean, it is Tokyo, so I mean, you're going to have probably some, mako sharks and,
Well, that's the thing. I wonder how they're going to do
this.
Well, I got to wonder how are you going to do surfing? Like,
how do you do surfing in California?
Well, but I mean, in the Olympics where, like, so, like, if you do snowboarding and stuff like that, like, right. They make the track, right?
Right.
They make, like, surfing, like, what if I, like, if you catch a different wave than I do, right? Like
there, well, that, to but me, there's. How the competition
that's how the competition is.
Anyway.
Because you get, I think, like, I'd have to look it up, but I know there are surfing competitions.
So if I'm lucky
and
enough,
I know.
If I'm lucky enough to, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I just think there's too many, like, natural.
Yes, no, I get what you're saying, but I think it goes along with. You have like 10 different waves that you can choose from. You have up to 10 waves. So you have to decide, is this the wave I'm going to use or not? And you might pick the wrong one,
yeah.
But it's a choice you got to make. And yes, there is a little bit of luck of the draw, but you know, are you on a bad wave but still do really good tricks? I mean, you're going to score more points. If you're on a great wave but only get, you know, don't do as many tricks or do the same tricks, you're not going to score as well as the other guy. You know what I'm saying?
I think
they factor that in.
I think
in.
It's too subjective. That is too subjective.
Amount of time that they have to catch each wave? Like,
I think so. I'm gonna see if I can find the rules for international surfing or whatever, but we'll see.
But we want to keep Jesse and Leroy and Javier part of this next conversation because it's become such a big deal in MMA. John Jones tests for something that's banned. Brock Lesnar tests for something that's banned. But we were going to talk a little bit about the Russians and their doping problems. And Jimmy was going to bring up a subject and we were all going to comment on it. But before we even get into that, Alex Rodriguez is being forced out by the New York Yankees. And Rodriguez, of course, cheated. So him, Barry Bonds, and Roger Clemens will never, ever, 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 ever see the Hall of Fame. And that's why I always thought Ken Griffey Jr. is the best player we've ever seen because he never cheated, never took a corner. But Alex Rodriguez basically goes down as a cheater who denied and was close to almost 700 home runs or something ridiculous. At 41, he's now quitting. But Jimmy was bringing up a good point about the Russian team. And it always seems like the Russians are doping. I'm sorry.
Well, it's because it's state-sponsored doping.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
honestly.
That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, come on. You've seen Rocky IV.
Okay. fictional, but yeah.
But fictional based on reality.
So tell us a little bit about – fill in everybody on this side about
the Olympic committee or whatever had banned all Russians from competing in the Olympics because – they were pretty much all caught with substances in their bloodstream. Then, right before – and they banned all the entire Paralympic team as well. Right before the opening ceremonies, like the day of the opening ceremonies, they allowed like 70 Russians to compete. And then the day after the opening ceremonies, there was another like 70 that they said, okay, you can compete. But it still left like 183 like that couldn't compete in the Olympics. But some of these like there was a swimmer who I don't remember her name, and she was competing against an American swimmer in the breaststroke. And the American got on Twitter and she said, this is bullshit that this person has been found twice with doping agents in her bloodstream, but she's still being allowed to compete in the Olympics. I guess my question is, if you've been caught doping before in the past, should you ever be allowed to compete in the Olympics? I guess is my question. We'll start with Rochelle.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Do you think maybe like, okay, so let's say 2016 Olympics, you get caught doping. Okay, you can't compete in this Olympics. You get clean, 2020, you can try again. And then if you get caught again, then you're banned for life. No more Olympics ever.
Mm-mm.
Or you just think one strike, you're gone.
Gone.
Okay.
I don't think it's one strike. But, you know, away from the Olympics, John Jones now is second time getting caught with substances. I think like maybe a two strike rule. I think three strikes is too lenient. But I would have to say that maybe I'm going off the history of Russia. I know maybe these athletes, I believe maybe they don't know what goes into their body. I believe John Jones knows everything that goes into his body, mm-hmm. but I believe in the Russian Olympic program, maybe they don't know everything that goes in their body. I don't know. So I'd say two strikes. But really, you miss one Olympics, that's 4 years of your life, right. athletic career. It is almost a death sentence.
Yeah.
Jesse, what do you think?
I think they should be able to compete eventually and maybe be tested periodically throughout their time off period. But I don't think they should be banned. Not for good.
No, why? I mean, essentially, you're cheating.
Yeah, it is cheating, and I'm all against that. I do think it's bullshit that people got to take something to enhance their abilities. But I think they should be given another chance. Maybe, like he said, maybe two strikes.
Okay.
There's a lot of, and I'm going to use your word here, Jesse, there's a lot of bullshit about the Olympics, right?
So yeah.
So I'm watching where they're talking about the swimsuits now that are like a special skin that takes the water and moves it down.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be allowed. I think they should be swimming in what people swim in 1974 or whatever, eight. Because, I mean, if you're
breaking – Speedos?
But if you're breaking a record right. using a technology that wasn't around when they're like, hey, a new record in the pool, you know – from 1974, that's not really fair. Like, I hate that the technology is kind of ruining records too.
Okay.
I'm just saying. They were talking about the swimsuit, how it glides water off the butt. I'm like, what?
But if everybody's wearing the same swimsuit, but then it's not an unfair advantage.
But they can't break a world record then.
Yeah, I see what Brad's saying.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
And I kind of agree with it. I think the same thing, like when you even like if you want to talk about movies, like when they talk about like, oh, like it's the
– right. I
like it broke all the – like, well, yeah, but
– it costs like $15 to go to the movie.
Yeah, when in 1930 it cost 50 cents. Right. Like, but yeah, I agree. Like if you're bringing in technology and stuff like that, like do it, but you don't get a world record.
Yeah.
Or give an asterisk.
What's that?
Give an asterisk.
Yeah. Or the asterisk, sure, yeah, broke the world record but wore crazy right. alien technology suit.
All right, we're on to Javier. What do you think? Are they get one chance, two chance?
You know, in all honesty, I have thought about this. And, you know, these guys are professionals and getting paid – I mean, take John Jones. He's getting paid megabucks. I think it's just a one-shot deal. Personally, myself, you know, if you're a professional, and I think everybody's being really lenient on these athletes, if they know that if they get caught once – they're banned for life, then maybe they'll think twice about it because you got a lot of athletes out there, I mean, really juicing up. I mean, even in the local stream or even in, international stream. And I think if they do get caught in any way, shape, or form, they should be banned for life. That's as far as I'm concerned, yep. You know.
Are you ready?
I go both ways, between one and two strikes.
What?
Because
what?
Yeah.
You heard it here first on the undercard.
Be who you are, man. Be who you are.
We're all accepting here.
You know what? It's all good. It's all
judgment
good.
Judgment free zone.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And Jimmy would like your number.
Stop it.
But it's that one strike because you're representing your country.
Right.
As far as the Olympics. Like, you know, you're held to that way higher standard. But yet, at the same time, like, I've gone overseas and gotten to compete and talk to some of those athletes mm-hmm. to where they don't think about it as, like, you know, I think about it as a wrestling season.
Mm-hmm.
They think about it, their season is that 4 years.
Okay.
Like,
right, right.
When I was in Greece and talking to their wrestlers, and I was like, hey, you know, come stateside and blah, blah, blah. And he talked in terms of 4 years' time. After 4 years, like, basically, after the Olympics, yeah, I'll come hang out. Like, that's different mindset.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I also agree with, like, you know, some of those countries that those athletes, or I'm going to call them kids because some of them are really young.
Yeah, I mean, you got 16-year-old kids, yeah.
They're kids. They might not know what's going on in them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're just being given this. They're set up to just have to train, and that's it.
Right.
They go from their apartment, whatever their apartment is, and they go do what their coach tells them. And their coach tells them, here, eat this,
right.
take this. And they're going to do it.
Punish them as a country, though.
Right. So, I mean, that's what they were trying to do initially, is they were going to just ban all athletes from Russia because of the mm-hmm. amount of – but then they decided to do it on a more individual basis. But they let people in to compete who had already popped hot at least twice, yeah. you know, on some of these previous drug tests. And that's what – I mean – you know, the swimmer that was this whole thing came about, she ended up losing to the American anyways. But, you know, if she had lost or if the American had lost, I mean, you know, the other girl had an unfair advantage, you know.
Or so, just,
I mean,
let everybody juice, man, and go at it.
Or you could do go the other way. Exactly.
I have a
go
question.
The other way. Yeah.
Was that the same swimmer that I feel like I was watching?
It was the
Russian girl, like, won her heat, like, holding up the one. And you saw the American sitting there, like, shaking her head, like,
"Yep,
no, I'm number one."
Yeah, yeah. And then in the medal swim, the American won.
Yeah.
Did you see Michael Phelps though, when he was there? And anybody can look this up on
the mean face.
Well, that's what, I mean, people are calling him Darth Phelps. And stuff
when
that
guy was sitting there taunting him.
When he was sitting there taunting because he beat Phelps in the last Olympics or whatever, and Michael Phelps' face. You watch him go from, okay, I'm kind of mad at you, to, I am going to murder you.
Don't poke the bear.
No, don't poke the bear. Yeah. Okay, continue, Marv. What do you think about the juicing?
One strike, two strike, five.
Actually, I like the idea of just let everybody go crazy. Juice all you want.
Okay.
No, actually, I say one strike.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
You pop out once, you're done. And I think you should you do need to punish the country. So if a country has, pick a number, five.
Right.
Or five at whatever, however many they decide.
Or half, like the Russians.
Well, whatever. Half is way too many. But right. If you, like, because Brad has a very good point. A lot of those, especially of the Russians, I'm sure, they don't know what their coaches are giving
right.
them.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So if you have five competitors, right. let's say, that test positive, yep. well, then your country is done.
Right. Yeah.
For life.
Yep.
Your country is done.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've told this story on the air, but I know she knows this story. But so my grandma, in her last few years, she would get very close to death. And she had a great doctor, Dr. Raper, still a family doctor of ours. But when she would get really close to death, she would have pneumonia or anything like that, and you swore she was on her last minutes, he'd prescribe prednisone to her. Now, here's a lady that used to have to ring the bell to get helped out of bed, helped to go to the bathroom or anything. But when he would prescribe prednisone to her,
sure.
she got up by herself,
yep.
could turn the TV on by herself,
yep.
would walk and get the mail by herself.
Sure.
It's amazing what steroids can do. It's not a little advantage, by the way.
No.
It's huge.
They wouldn't use it if it was a little advantage.
Humongous advantage. Yeah. Juju, what do you think? One strike, two strikes?
Two strikes. I think everybody deserves a second chance.
That's right. That's the American way, I was going to say, but it's the world way. It's the world way.
The first one, I still think they should be punished severely.
All right. Jimmy?
I think it's the two strikes. I think I think strike one, you're banned from the current Olympics or the next Olympics coming up. Strike two, you're banned for life. I think is how it should go. Because you tried to sneak something in or whatever, we're going to punish you, but, you know, you can try to compete again the next Olympics, but if you do it again, you're gone. You can never compete again.
But it's the same concept as, you know, stealing that cookie. You know, if you steal that cookie, I'm going to chop off your hand and literally mean it. Or
right.
if you steal that cookie, you're going to get punished. You're going to stand in that corner. I mean, I'll stay in the corner. I want the cookie.
Who is that?
You're not going to chop off my damn hand. You know?
Right, exactly.
Who is that?
Hammurabi's code, an eye for an eye.
Who is that idiot American that was going to get caned? You remember that years ago?
Oh, and in Taiwan?
Oh, it was in the Philippines. Or Singapore.
Singapore.
Yeah, he wasn't getting no second chance.
And he did get caned.
Did he?
He did.
Oh, yeah. They busted his ass.
Yeah. Where's he? Wikipedia him.
Wherever he is, he ain't sitting down, I can tell you that.
We need some guests for like 201, 202, 203. Let's just book them. Rochelle, what do you think? You already said for sure one strike.
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah.
No, I believe that the Olympics are held to a higher standard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you really buy into the Olympics are the best? It's so corporate to me anymore.
No,
I don't
believe that, but I believe that it should be.
Okay. And I was telling Jimmy this outside here, and we're going to finish with these thoughts with Jesse and Leroy and everybody here. I believe that the Olympics should take place at one place per year. Or every 4 years. So, like, I was thinking Athens for the summer. I was thinking maybe Calgary for the winter. And we invest in those villages, and that's it. All this infrastructure we build. I mean, Jimmy, look up some pictures of Sochi right now. And then it goes to hell anyways. You know how much money we could be doing actually helping the world? It's kind of sick to see these Olympics where, like, these countries get along, but yet we couldn't return each other's phone calls right now if we wanted to. I mean, you might look at it from the side of this is great because we're putting political differences beside or on the side, but I look at it as like we could be doing so much more with this money than building these amazing cathedrals that Rio will never use ever again.
Yeah, but like Marv and I were saying out in the thing or whatever, and that's great. And that's great for Canada, and that's great for Greece. But no other country is going to get that money that they get when they have the Olympics in their country.
There's a great picture going around right now, and I'll put it on our site, of the Rio kids looking through an abandoned house at the opening ceremonies about 2 miles away. Do you realize this is not helping the Rio people freaking at all? Yep. And you realize that when this all ends, the real poverty is still going to be – it's helping corporations, which it does. Coca-Cola sponsors Olympics, everything. Mm-hmm. Do you think Rio's actually going to be better because
no,
the Olympics
I,
were
I
held there?
I think it's just like a bubble that drops in, and then once it's done, it pops.
Yep. And they're like, hey, good luck keeping those buildings up, you know? What's Sochi look like now? Horrible.
Oh, I mean,
2 years.
I mean, it looks like it did before the Olympics. I mean, honestly, Sochi was a wasteland before the Olympics, and Sochi is a wasteland again.
Sarajevo, look up.
Well, you can't go by that because it's been bombed.
Well, yeah, but again, like when you go to when these countries do this, right? Like why did Russia pick Sochi as the place to build the Olympic Village? Like if you build it in a city, like I mentioned before the show too, Vancouver, right? Like Vancouver had the Winter Olympics 2010. I think it was. Whatever it was, like they use that stadium now. They built the stadium, like the and their village became
but
housing for people.
Vancouver's not a city that's, you know, struggling.
But what I'm saying, that's my point is, it, like if you build it in places that are remote, like Sochi, then of course the place is going to be abandoned as soon as the Olympics are done. I say the Olympic Committee shouldn't grant it to countries unless they're going to put it in a place where the infrastructure can be used again.
Right.
But they still need money in order to use it afterwards. And if it's in a location that they didn't have money beforehand, what's going to give them the money after?
That's my point.
Maybe put a contract on it.
That's my point is you don't put it in a place where they're not going to have money.
Or you do it – well, like for like an example. So – we were talking about was it Calgary? Is that what you said, Brad? Put maybe
yeah.
Do Calgary. Okay, so we do it in Calgary. Calgary is a pretty big city. It's got a lot of infrastructure. There's a lot of people there who are going to then utilize those structures after the Olympics are done. But even if we go stick with Canada, if we put the Olympic Village in a remote town in Nova Scotia, it's going to happen the exact same way. You know, so you got to utilize, from what Marv was saying, is you got to utilize the bigger cities or just outside the bigger cities where you have the population, you have the infrastructure, the transportation, the work or like public works. That's what I was
sure.
thinking. Public works, stuff like that, that when it's all said and done, you can then utilize that stuff again. You have more arenas. You can bring in, you know, maybe not athletes, but you can put shows on there. You can do other things like that.
There should be.
But see the difference with it, how it goes, Macarena?
What?
The difference with it when it goes into different countries is that for like the opening ceremonies, they base it around their culture.
Right.
Yeah.
And unless you're going to give it to a different country every year
right.
in
exactly.
the one spot, I mean,
that's the downside.
It's like an introduction
exactly.
to
that culture right.
that you wouldn't have seen.
I'm confused.
Otherwise.
So are you in favor of it moving around or staying in one spot?
I don't know how I feel about it. I'm just
okay.
There's pros and cons.
Because right, I agree. Exactly. I think yeah. I think it should stay moving around. I think it should stay moving around. But I think
they need to. Yes.
But I think they need to revamp the way
locations.
Well, they need to revamp the way you like bid for the Olympics. If you're going to say we want the Olympics right now, like you have to say, here's our plan for how we're going to build stuff.
Right, and
your plan
send it
needs
like
to include what are you going to do afterwards. Your plan has to include how are you going to utilize that stuff afterwards.
Right.
And if you say we're going
to – certain time.
Whatever. If you say we're going to build it and then not use it anymore, well, then thank you for applying.
Well, who's on the Olympian board? Is it past Olympians?
No. They're elected officials.
Yeah.
Like FIFA and shit.
I assume it's whoever has enough money to
of course
to
it
get
is.
Put on the board.
Yeah, so anyways, we'll post this article on our Facebook because the pictures are on here, but I found the article. It said, while thousands of spectators packed into the Macarena Arena for glittering opening ceremonies.
Yeah, I saw a Macarena.
Rio slum dwellers were forced to watch the event from the roofs of their rundown homes. In I can't pronounce this town. A town mixed by gang violence and poverty, residents looked down to the arena from rooftops, separated from the spectacle by highway and train tracks. In this neighborhood of tattered homes, the next 2 weeks are reminders of the lines dividing the city's haves and have-nots. It's not helping Rio. It won't help Rio. It, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I get frustrated. So I'm not watching the Olympics. I am actually protesting it. Not watching it, will not watch it. I wanted to talk to it today because it is relevant, but I reached this point where it's kind of like I'm not going to buy into Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and NBC shoving it down my face anymore. It really doesn't mean anything in the eyes of where the world is right now.
So, all right. So then are you also going to stop watching boxing and MMA since they're all sponsorships as well?
No, because
why not?
Because if I believe in Jesse as an individual, if I believe in Leroy as an individual, I'm rooting for the individual in those sports.
Then why aren't you rooting for your country or the individual athletes?
I hope Michael Phelps does well. I hope the U.S. wins lots of medals. But at the end of the day, I just believe the Olympic process so far has proved that it's not working out for these cities as they travel along. Beijing gets the next Winter Olympics. Is that correct?
But
They don't even have snow.
I just think like my point is that if your logic is that the money's all going to the corporations, like that is any and every sport and piece of entertainment.
But isn't the Olympics, which has a flag, which each ring has a color representing each flag, shouldn't that be more than what we are as corporations and everything?
But
like
you're
that.
Never – here's the problem, Brad. You can't run an event like the Olympics without corporate sponsors. It's just not possible.
You have to have
corporate sponsors in order to run an event as big and as massive and as huge as the Olympics. So you're going to have the corporate sponsors no matter what.
How about just the country sponsors? I mean, if they're going to be in, Japan or something like that, then Japan sponsors everything.
The amount of money that's spent on the Olympics is greater than some of the gross national product of some countries.
I was
going to
say, if you do that,
which is wrong.
Then the Olympics is going to be bouncing between America, Japan, and Russia. Every year, because they're going to be the only countries that can afford it.
Perfect.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Well, then there you go. There it is. The Olympics can only be held by the countries that sit on the Security Council of the UN.
UN, right.
Does anyone know how much
Build permanent stadiums in those five countries.
I'm trying to look up
problem
three different
solved.
Things at a time. Okay,
well,
so first
you're not
of all,
doing it good enough.
So first of all,
you suck at internet looking up.
I know. So first of all, the Olympic Committee is elected by session, by a secret ballot, by a majority of vote cast for a 4-year term. So it's very Illuminati.
I was going to say it's actually
it's very Illuminati.
As a member of the Illuminati, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you we don't have a chance at it. We play quarter bounce to figure out who's going to be on the Olympics. I think I'm up for it actually in 2024.
Okay, so hold on. Now I'm looking up to ticket to the Olympics. Let's see. I'm going to see how much it is here. Payment, not Brazilian, resale, half ticket price, entry
radio,
fee.
Anybody? Radio.
Yeah, I'm just I can't even.
You're trying
check.
To look up how much a ticket costs?
Yeah,
it's expensive as shit.
Yeah.
Maybe my argument is bad. I don't know. I mean, I like arguing with people.
I don't think your argument is bad.
No,
if you're going to apply it to the Olympics, you have to apply it to all other sports.
Okay, but the Olympics have been around a long time, right?
1924.
Longer than that.
Well, no, ancient, modern Olympics has been since 1924, I think.
Right.
I thought it was late 1800s. Whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
the moment where Jesse Owens wins on the podium, a black American in Germany at the time, those moments that truly, truly, truly do matter have been lost somewhere along the way, whether it be 88 Seoul, whether it be – Yes, Javier is agreeing with me.
I agree with that.
How about this? If we're going to have host countries, let's give the money to Rio but still keep it in Athens. So Rio's the host country. Their people can come. Their colors can be there. But like instead of building – I mean they built a pool that in 2 weeks this pool will just have the Zika virus in there and no one to maintain it.
Right.
It's not like the people get to do it. They built an opening ceremony stadium for a ceremony.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're building a Red Wing Arena down there, which we will use for years and years and years. This building will be not used for anything.
And
it makes no sense.
That was my point that I said earlier was if you are going to apply to have the Olympics, you need to have a plan for how you're going to use this crap afterwards. Now, as I understand that, like, you know, the point of the kids watching the opening ceremony, watching the Olympics from their abandoned home, you know, whatever. And yes, okay. I get that. Okay. The other side of that is, however, because it was there, those kids, while they may have been watching it from an abandoned home, those kids got to watch the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, but still, it's a reminder to them that they're not a part of it, though.
Is it?
It is. It just the journalist that took the pictures and will post it on our Facebook says it's a reminder to them that they are blockaded
Did the kids tell him that?
The journalists observed.
Oh, it's his observation. The kids may have been enthralled by the fact that they could see the Olympics.
But you didn't think about it this way. If the kid's watching that from far away, maybe growing up, he's going to inspire him to get into the Olympics and compete himself.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're saying if it was in Athens.
No. He's talking about the kids in Rio.
Are you on my side or his side?
No side. I'm talking about the kids.
Because that's my point. Is like, right. So the kid is there. It's he's living in a slum. He's watching it from 2 miles away or whatever. But yes, he says, you know what? Up until today, I didn't think I had shit going for me. But that would be awesome if I could do that.
Right. Exactly.
And so maybe it inspires him to. You know, go on and try and do something, right?
Right.
If it's in Athens every single year, you're only going to inspire a Greek kid who lives 2 miles away.
Right, because – and that's the other thing.
Marv's just mad that the time change. You'll never get real time.
Well, I'm mad at NBC for that. Like,
yeah. And that's the other thing too is that, you know, you – by going around to all these different countries and having the Olympics be in these different countries, you're inspiring locals, you're inspiring kids of those local countries of, hey, the Olympics were here and it was part of our country and blah, blah. If you have it in Athens every year, then you're going to – the Olympics will always seem too far away for all these other countries who may never – get and they'll, you know, who will never get an Olympics in their country. Hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I agree with you that there's a lot going wrong with it, and I think that changes do need to be made. But I don't think it's to keep it in one place every single year. I think it does need to travel.
Yeah.
But like Marv said, that if you're going to host it, if your country's going to host it, then you have to have a plan of how it's going to be used. For 20 years in the future, like how are you going to utilize it? What are your infrastructure? And then you also have to have the infrastructure. What is the population of that town? What are your water? What are your public works? What is your transportation? What is, you know, and if it doesn't meet a certain standard, then no, you can't host it.
Better Olympic movie, Cool Runnings or Chariots of Fire?
Cool Runnings.
Okay.
Only for, you know, I mean –
probably not a better soundtrack. Though.
Anytime you have John Candy as an Olympic coach, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Two totally different movies right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever, that's cool.
But yeah,
you're right,
talking about make you cry at the end or make you laugh your ass off during the whole thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. Let's go around the room really quick. We did talk about Alex Rodriguez. We were talking about doping. Here's a guy who denied it, but then it's been implicated. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, these are people that tested. Jesse, do they ever belong in the Hall of Fame of baseball or does it even matter?
No, I don't think they belong. I think they should be banned from accomplishments like that. You cheated to get to where you are. How long have you been doing it? You know, what have you done while have you been under drugs?
That's right. Hank Aaron didn't have those advantages. Javier, they ever get in the Hall of Fame?
I agree with Jesse. I mean, you have no idea how long they've been doing it for. I mean, so you can't really pinpoint their exact accomplishments. So screw them, man. No, not at all.
All right, Leroy.
Oh, I'm total agreement with Jesse. Like, I remember we were We were goofing around one day, and we looked at, like, a Mark McGwire, like, rookie card.
Oh, my God.
And then a Mark McGwire card, like, at the end of his career. We were like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, what on earth and how long was he doing this?
Marv, do you think they should ever make it into the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely not. If you're found to be doing that, you lose every title you've ever had, every whatever, and there's a giant asterisk next to your name.
Those were my favorite things. The people that would hold up asterisks when Roger Clemens would pitch, or those people were my favorite. You know, the worst thing about Roger Clemens is, like, here's a guy that when I was a kid I loved him. I mean, he pitched down at Tiger Stadium. I had to go see him, but what he did was he ruined his freaking trainer's life. And his trainer was going through his kid was going through cancer and everything. It's not only that they lied about it, but the people that protected them their whole lives, mm-hmm. their friends, they annihilated them. Mm-hmm. Like, that made no sense to me. It was just like, not only are they going down, but they're going to take everybody down with them and stuff like that.
Yep.
Juju, Hall of Fame, people that cheat?
Absolutely not, no.
Jimmy?
Nope, and you strike all records that they ever existed in the sport.
All right.
I'm serious,
Rochelle.
No, I say you keep them the record, but you give them that asterisk. I want it as a constant reminder.
All right,
a constant reminder.
All right.
No, they should never be allowed in there.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? There should be a Hall of Fame for dopers.
You did it fast.
Yeah, and like Mark McGwire, like, right. you take the card from their rookie year and they're and go, Jesus Christ. Like, okay, you won the doping Hall of Fame.
Hey, look at all that slack that Pete Rose got just for gambling.
Gambling.
That's it.
Yep.
You know, and he was banned. So I mean,
that one I think is total bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, he's just
I mean, I get it, like, but like the guy was still a great player. I mean,
he didn't dope.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
he wasn't doping.
Right? Exactly.
He was making his bills, that's all.
You know what? In Major League Baseball, still not done with him because relevant right now, Ichiro Suzuki just got his 3,000 hit.
Yeah.
And there's people in Major League Baseball who are combining his Japanese hits with his MLB hits just to, like, piss off people. It's like Major League Baseball still not done with that.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to be the hits leader. Watch this. We're going to take the Suzuki guy here. And make him the all-time hits leader and stuff like that. Well, I want to wish Jesse the best of luck. I think Jimmy's going to try to make it down there.
I'm definitely going to try to make it down there.
Javier, I want to keep a Michigan top team in our prayers and stuff like that. You guys are doing a great job over there.
Yeah.
Keep it up. And Leroy Johnson, big fight for you. I know you're ready, though. Like, you're smiling.
You're
you guys are relaxed,
you're
man. I like
ready.
It.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Be relaxed and stuff.
Since we were talking about the Olympics a lot today, the current medal count, China has the most gold medals at 8. United States has 6, but we have the most total medals at 22. We have 6, 8 silver, and 8 bronze.
I think that's the way it always is, isn't it?
Usually,
I think it's always think so. Up until at least like the last couple of days.
Couple of
China
days.
Always has more gold than we
yeah.
have all.
And then we just
always
blow
have
through
more.
The, yeah, exactly.
Because yeah. they don't have any stamina.
Chinese. but how's China doing those Winter Olympics? They're irrelevant.
Well,
irrelevant.
Non-existent.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap up the show. We're going to be back for our 200th episode pretty soon. Stay tuned to facebook.com/radiounderCard. Go support Jesse Leroy. It's happening this weekend. Taylortown, WXC. We're going to post a lot about these two fighters on our page this week, so you go out and watch them. And stick with the undercard. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Brad.
See ya.
Yeah, thank you.
Listening to the undercard, Hand Combat Radio. You're listening to a previously recorded episode of the undercard, Hand Combat Radio.